This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top-resume. Are you ready to not only change jobs, but switch careers? Our guest today says that before you get started, you need to get clear about why you want to pivot. You also need to make sure your decisions align with other professional and personal goals. Cynthia Pong joins us today to talk about if you should really change careers. She's a feminist career strategist, speaker, and author. Cynthia is on a mission to help women of color get the money, power, and respect they deserve. And she joins us today from New York City. Well, Cynthia, here's where I want to start. Why is it important to be clear about your why if you're considering changing careers?
It's important because it could really affect what you choose to do next in your career, because there's obviously reasons why you're unhappy where you currently are or why you're even considering to change to something new. But depending on what those underlying reasons are and the root causes of that dissatisfaction, you may be better served by a smaller pivot within the same career rather than a full-on career change. So that's why I always encourage people to think about what are the reasons precipitating this thought process for you. Are you finding that you ended up in a career because other people kind of chose it for you? Like, did your family kind of pressure you to go one way, whereas you in your heart want to go another way? Or was it because you got tied to a certain field because that's what you majored in school? You know, or are you unhappy for other reasons? Like, where is that misalignment between you and your career goals and what you're doing with your day-to-day work life? It could also be that, you know, you're seeing other people who appear to be way more happy and quote unquote fulfilled by their work. So you're like, oh, maybe I should be doing this other stuff because I see my friends doing that, and or that's, you know, a new area that's taking off. In which case, you know, I'd have a set of questions for you too on whether or not you should make that leap.
Well, let's talk about reasons why you see people consider making career pivots that maybe aren't the right reasons. What are some common reasons besides the grass maybe being greener on the other side? Are there other reasons that come to mind why you shouldn't change careers?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people are in the right career, but simply in the wrong job or the wrong organization, or maybe in the wrong role even. So that's why, you know, if somebody has tried a few smaller pivots within their career and they're still coming to me and saying, no, I want to change careers, then I'm like, okay, yeah, probably you do. Because you have tried these smaller, more low stakes, low risk pivots, and it's not changing how you feel about your work life. But if somebody is thinking that they, you know, that maybe they're in a toxic work environment or they're not getting along with their boss. You know, so many people leave jobs because of their direct supervisor or manager. You know, I would encourage them to pause for a second and reconsider what's actually going on and then what would be the right solution for them.
Let's talk about that example. If you're in a situation where you're unhappy and you think the answer is to change careers entirely, what should you do instead before trying to find a new job in another sector?
I think taking stock of what's working and what isn't working in your current situation will help give you some clarity on that. So literally sitting down and writing down what's going well in my current job and what is not. And then also giving consideration, Mac, to what are your actual goals for this stage of your career? I'm not even saying like your overall career goals, like over the trajectory of your 20, 30, 40 year career. I'm talking about right now with the reality that you're facing, like what do you want to prioritize? And then looking at those priorities, how well do they line up with the work that you're doing? If they line up well, then, you know, maybe there's some other way that we could resolve your source of unhappiness. Like maybe it's the particular way that you're looking at your work or the way that you feel about it. And we can change both of those things. You can change your thoughts. You can change your emotions without necessarily having to take a big leap right now, especially, you know, in a time when the economy is not doing well overall and some industries are really taking a hit. You know, you want to be careful about what you do.
Let's keep talking about that situation where someone is unhappy. Maybe it's a toxic work environment, as you said, or they're not getting along with the supervisor. You sit down, you make those lists of short-term goals and lists of things that are working well and maybe not so well. How do you act on that information, Cynthia?
Yeah, so I like to encourage people, especially because I work mostly, almost predominantly with women of color who are at different stages of their career. And there's a lot of us have been socialized over time in a way that actually disconnects us with our gut feelings, like our sense of intuition about what we should or shouldn't do. There's a lot of second guessing and self-doubt that develops from being a woman or a woman of color who lives in our society. So I would tell somebody to go through this kind of introspective exercise and do some deep thinking. And then looking at how well or poorly those things line up, think about what your gut instinct is on how to proceed based on this. Should you really take the leap and change to something else? Do you have something else in mind that is really pulling you, like that another career? Or are you simply in a place where you're incredibly unhappy, you know, doing what you do? And then think about whether your instinct tells you if you should stay or leave, what the general timeline might be on that. And I would really encourage someone to try to put aside any feelings of second guessing themselves and think, what is the first thought that comes to my mind when I look at this landscape of my current career? Aside from that, I do think that there is a lot of benefit in working with someone as an external support who can give you some advice from a little bit of distance, who can see things perhaps a little more objectively and also help you find your way, because that's what they do for a living. So like getting help, whether it's from a coach or sometimes even therapy can really help with this type of thing, or like a mentor or a friend. But I would be a little bit wary of talking to like too many people to get outside input, again, because it can start to be like a too many cooks in the kitchen situation.
Do you find when the people you work with go through that process that they may conclude that the answer isn't to switch careers, but simply to change jobs?
Yes, that happens not infrequently. I think part of what happens, Mac, is that, and I experienced this myself when I like went through a period of burnout in my first career. Sometimes we need something else to think about. It's almost like this escapist survival strategy. or like way to cope with how miserable we might be in our day-to-day is to like dream about these other careers that we think we would rather do. But ultimately they turn out to be either a non-starter or not the real destination for us. So I definitely work with people who come to me and they think that they want to leave their job and start their own business or something like that. And then in the end, they end up going for a promotion at their job or finding a different job in the same industry and finding happiness there.
Well, let's talk about the people who go through that process and decide the issue isn't the job or the employer or the boss. It is the career. What do they do next, Cynthia, once they reach that conclusion?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is to do your research. So do a lot of informational interviews if you can. Reach out to people who work in that industry who you either know directly or can reach through your contacts, or people you find who are cold contacts through LinkedIn or other places like that. The best way to find out what it's really like to work in a particular industry, aside from actually working in the industry, is to talk to people who do. So once you talk to a bunch of people and get, you know, ask a lot of open-ended questions, do a lot of deep listening, then that'll give you an idea not only of what that's like so that you can be more confident in your decision, but also you can get their advice about how you can more successfully pivot into that industry. You know, it's there's different ways to pivot. And so you want to be strategic about how you do it. You know, sometimes for people, like the easier path is, oh, if you want to change into tech or something, and you currently do, you're an accountant at an accounting firm. So it might be easier for you to lateral over to a tech company in an accounting role in order to then switch into, I don't know, software development or something, which is what you actually want to do, because you're in that organization at that point, and you can make those connections and put your name in the hat for the work that you really want to do. A more difficult pivot would be if you were going to go straight from being an accountant to doing that software developing, like without any prior track record in doing that work. And for someone like that, I would recommend really putting in the time first to demonstrate why and how you can do that work. So whether it's on your own time, you know, like for an unpaid or volunteer job or taking courses or something, to have a portfolio to show that you can actually do that job. Otherwise, you know, think about it. Like, why would anybody hire you for that kind of role if you have no experience in it?
Well, let's take a break, Cynthia. And when we come back, I want to talk more about these small pivots and big pivots too, actually moving from one sector to another. When we come back after the break, we'll continue our conversation with Cynthia Pong about whether you should really change careers or not. You can't change careers without knowing your why. You also need a resume that works. Find out what the experts think of your resume. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. A professional writer at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. You'll get tips you can use to make your resume better now. You can also hire Top Resume to rewrite your resume. Make sure your resume tells your career story. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Cynthia Pong. She's a feminist career strategist, speaker, and author, and she joins us today from New York City. Cynthia, before the break, we were talking about if you should really change careers or not. And we talked about going through a process to get clear about that. And some people decide, no, what they really need to do is change jobs or seek a promotion or switch companies. And then there are the people who start making a career change. And you were talking about small pivots. You shared the example of an accountant moving from who wants to break into tech, moving to an accounting position in a tech company. Are there other examples of small pivots that you've seen your clients make or others?
Well, when I say small pivots, I was actually thinking more of changes that are less drastic than a full-on career change. So thinking about if your industry is education and you've been a teacher for 10, 15, 20 years, but you really get that sense that you're like destined for something else at this stage of your career. Maybe you think you wanted to go into television or something like that. Well, first I would ask you, what are your reasons for being focused on that other industry? And if I thought that this was more of a situation where you were using that as a coping mechanism to get through your day-to-day, then I would ask actually if you thought, like what you thought of going into an education adjacent field would be like. So for example, becoming a consultant for some type of area of specialty within education that you have experience in, or going into administration, or changing the type of students you teach, you know, going from secondary education to higher ed or vice versa, changing geography, changing the type of school, you know, public to private to charter to what have you. So I would ask about these kind of smaller, less drastic changes and see what the person thought of them and how they reacted. Because sometimes we also say things, but our, you know, nonverbal cues or whatnot give away how we really feel. So I'd watch for those things too, to get a sense of whether something like a smaller pivot would be more appropriate for them.
And what do those reactions tell you as you watch the client and draw them out in that conversation?
Yeah, I can tell when people are more excited or when they're saying something that they just think I want to hear. So I love to look for those signs of somebody lighting up. Like if they start to talk and their speech pattern becomes more excited, you know, I can tell they're more engaged with a particular idea. Or, you know, those moments when we're really not censoring ourselves and that first reaction, I get a glimpse of that first reaction, whether it's dread or, you know, something negative, or it's something positive. And then I kind of just follow that and go. I like to follow where somebody is clearly interested, because making any kind of change in your career, whether it's big or small, you need to be committed to it. Otherwise, you're going to give off in those nonverbals to other people that you're not really sure. And this is like a, something I learned from marketing, but you know, the saying, the confused mind says no. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I fully believe that that applies in the job world, in interviewing and hiring, networking conversations. People pick up on your hesitation and they'll interpret it, you know, however they want to interpret it. But the more important thing is that they'll sense that something is off, and then it will make them not want to choose you or not think that you're serious.
As you have those conversations with clients and you're seeing that excitement and people light up, I imagine your clients are feeling positive energy too. How do they talk about that with you, and how should they pay attention to that?
Oh, well, I'll just straight up tell them. I mean, like, I'll tell them that I noticed that they seemed more engaged and more excited about one idea versus another. And my clients tend to be very receptive to that. I mean, obviously, they hired me, so they trust me to a certain degree. So when I tell them things, I find that, you know, they hold it with a good deal of weight, and I take that responsibility pretty seriously. But it helps them feel more self-assured as they move forward too. And I think hearing that reflected back by me helps them also see it in themselves as they go. That in itself is like a learning process, which I think is pretty cool.
And as we talk about this, I would guess that people would feel that excitement, but do you think sometimes they're just not aware of it, or as you say, that state of confusion somehow prevents them from feeling or experiencing it fully?
Yes. I think we get very tied to certain ideas and like pre-existing kind of expectations for ourselves, especially in high stakes areas like work and career. So I think it often can be like, if something comes as a surprise to them, and that wasn't what their preconceived notion of as their next step, then it can really take people aback. And I think that they may not even realize that they were excited about something. Also, I think sometimes people are so burnt out and in such a negative mind space, not because of their own faults, but because of their situation, that they can lose sight a little bit of what actually makes them excited or not. Or it could be that the sign of them being excited is so subtle that they can't pick up on it. But, you know, I try to be hyper attuned to what's happening, and I'm looking for certain things, so it may be easier for me to spot.
What I like about what you're describing is that it's, as you take your clients through this process of considering these, what you call small pivots, it's a path forward that allows people to make a change, but it's not a dramatic change. I mean, sometimes people dream of starting a bed and breakfast in Vermont or opening a bookstore or moving into an entirely new sector. And you can do that, but it's pretty challenging. And most people never get started doing that, do they?
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that really resonated with me because when I was very burnt out, some of my career pipe dreams were to start a food truck or to start a community center that was very based on like health and wellness. And those two things would have been such huge endeavors that would have required so much investment, not only of money and finances and time, but sweat equity. You know, it would have been, if not a non-starter, then it would have been a painful and short-lived, I think, experiment, but costly in multiple ways. So, you know, helping people understand that maybe that's not exactly the way to go. It's an important thing to try to do. But like, I also want to say that it's not like I don't believe that we each have some like predetermined path that's meant for us in our careers that we have to seek out and find like a needle in a haystack. I don't really believe that. I think that each step that we take in our career is going to lead us to the next step. And the more important thing is that you take a step. So what I think is more, you know, of a shame is like if someone is so paralyzed that they don't even move. So then they're really just stuck in this kind of paralysis at their miserable job, being miserable about it. And they don't make a small pivot. They don't make a big change. They're still there. I think that's really the situation that we all want to avoid. So, you know, if someone is feeling like, oh, they're overthinking to this point where they can't even move forward, then I would say just do anything, like make any change. You know, you will course correct after that. Okay, you try to go start a food truck, you realize that it's going to cost X amount of money and you don't want to invest in it or whatever, like that will then propel you to the next thing. So, you know, I know we are really dissecting this first set of decisions, but I don't want people to lose sight of the fact that like, the path is made by walking. So take that next step.
Well, let's talk about the other steps along the way on that path. Once you get through that self-diagnosis, Cynthia, what else do you recommend someone do as they consider whether to change careers or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the importance of talking to people who actually have the knowledge that you're seeking. I think once you get a sense of what their advice is for you and how to successfully make this change, then it's about applying that. So first you have to discern, there's a discernment process. So, you know, the people that you talk to, do you feel like they were trustworthy? Is there a lot of overlap in what people were telling you? Like, for example, did you speak to five people and four of them all said the same thing? You know, that makes me think, okay, then you should probably do what those four people said. And that will tell you what to do. Like, do you have to get some more skills? Are you ready to make a change right now? Should you start applying to jobs? Do you, you know, if so, in what way do you do that? You know, how can you leverage your network? How do you package your prior career experience in order to maximize your chances of getting a foot in the door? Those are kind of the real nitty-gritty granular things that would start happening once you've decided which way to go.
How long do you recommend, Cynthia, people spend doing this kind of research, talking to others and this self-reflection?
Yeah, well, it can vary depending on how burnt out the person is and how much time they have to invest like week to week. But I would say generally between a month to 3 months. You know, by like, let's say you only have an hour every week to devote to this type of stuff, then it probably is going to take closer to 3 months. But I wouldn't want you to wait too much longer than that because you want to gain some momentum early on to propel you through this because, you know, the change is not necessarily going to be easy. It's not necessarily going to be hard, but you will need to put time and energy into it.
We've talked a lot about switching careers and career goals, but what about your personal and professional goals? What part should they play in this decision-making?
Oh, I don't think that you can really fully, you know, separate the two, you know, and I also am someone who thinks that, you know, we should really make sure not to conflate our worth as human beings with what we do for work, you know, to support ourselves and to support our loved ones. I think like, even when we're between jobs, you know, we have definite worth and value as human beings. So that's number one. But personal considerations clearly, I think, factor in. And that comes up a lot with my conversations with my clients. You know, if they have children they need to support, like that's clearly going to be a factor in that will influence what they want to change into. And also my advice for them, you know, like certain sectors are much less friendly, to be totally honest, to women and women with families than others. So looking at that, looking at whether a particular industry or set of organizations has good policies for work-life balance, whether they support their employees in certain ways. Like, I think that's where the intersection of personal and professional goals kind of comes together. And one thing I like to actually walk my clients through is this exercise of identifying what your life mission is and what your mission in work is. You can even do a more specific one that's your mission in a particular job. But the life and the work ones, a lot of people don't take the time to think about that, but I think it's so important, you know? Like, how are you going to know if you're going in the quote unquote right direction if you don't know what your sort of North Star is? So thinking about that and making sure that both those missions align, I think will make everyone's lives a lot happier and more fulfilled.
Well, Cynthia, it's been a terrific conversation. Now tell us, what's next for you?
Yeah, so I am going to continue to get the word out about my new book, which is Don't Stay in Your Lane, The Career Change Guide for Women of Color. And it's a step-by-step instruction manual that walks you through your career change from that first kind of light bulb moment of realizing that something is wrong to actually transforming your career and ending up in that new place. It's a combination of my unfiltered career change story, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and a lot of practical how-to advice and strategies that the reader can really coach themselves, including about finances, which a lot of other books gloss over. I really get into all the sort of nitty-gritty stuff like that.
I know listeners can learn more about that book, as well as many free resources you offer on your website, by going to embracechange.nyc. Cynthia, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember who's considering changing careers?
Nothing is irreversible in career. You can always course correct. So just take that first step. You know, like don't be too afraid or bogged down by the details if you feel like you're getting stuck. The more important thing is to continue moving forward.
Do you worry that your resume no longer works? Get it reviewed for free by Top Resume. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. And make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests, free job search articles, and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Mandy Allen. She's the talent and culture manager at AHA Strategy and Creative Agency. You see a job you know you could do. It's not what you want, but you apply anyway. And in your application and your interview, you say what you think the employer wants to hear. You're making a big mistake, says Mandy, and it will make your job search longer and harder. Mandy and I will talk about why you need to stop trying to be all things to all employers and instead focus on what you really want in your next job. I hope you'll join us. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.